This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey friends, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I am here today with my guest, Heather Myers. I'm really excited to have this conversation with Heather today, particularly because I don't know anything about her life, but I do know about her heart and her ministry. So we're going to learn together about the behind the scenes of Heather's life and her journey with the Lord today. But if you want to learn more about Heather, you can actually visit her site at heatherlmyers.com, M-Y-E-R-S, heatherlmyers.com. She is the author of Rooted Motherhood. This is an 8-week Bible study for moms who desire to be grounded in Scripture and growing in Christ. It is not yet on the market, so this is something to be looking out for, probably end of year, New Year time frame, potentially a Christmas present or a present for a mom in your life that's desiring to be grounded in Scripture and growing in her relationship with Christ for the new year. So keep this in mind. Really awesome opportunity to get some more information and material from Heather. But for today, our focus is going to be on really the behind the scenes of Heather's life. I mean, if she is writing Bible studies and really meeting people with all of this, we know that God has done some remarkable work in her life. So I can't wait to learn more about it. Thank you so much, Heather, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. I want to hear about how it all started. So paint the picture. What's your background and how did you come into faith? And then we'll take it from there.
Great. Thanks. So I don't remember a time about that I don't remember knowing Jesus. Or knowing about him, I should say. I grew up as a pastor's kid. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the faith, and it's so interesting because I reflect back and I have this very distinct memory of praying alone and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I know I need you. And I don't, like, it wasn't an adult-led thing. It was just something like, I don't know, like by myself that the Holy Spirit was like, it's time.
Wow.
And
you remember this?
I remember it. Okay. I have this memory of it. Wow. And then I also have a memory of like a week later being like, just to make sure, God, I want to make sure, Jesus, you come into my heart. Okay. Like I prayed a second time. And as a 5-year-old, so it's not like I understood all of it. I just knew I needed Jesus.
Wow.
And I knew I had, like I said, I had never known him.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, before we start to hear about kind of how your life unfolded after those early years, now we're sitting here many years later, you grew up with this foundation, but I'm sure that you are now much more aware of who God is to you personally and on a very personal level. So I know that this is a hard question, but I'm just curious, what is it, if you think about God, what is it that you've learned about him, or what just pops out to you as a major characteristic or characteristics of who God is now that you've lived with him all of these years?
It is very hard to narrow it down. But I would say, as I was even reflecting just recently, the attributes that came to mind were that he's a faithful provider and sustainer. Mm. And also the idea that I'm very loved. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I know that's four, that's a lot of aspects, but like those are probably
big
umbrellas. Yeah. Just seeing his faithfulness over the years, mm-hmm. seeing all the ways he provided for me mm-hmm. and my family. And then also knowing that we're going to have trouble in this life, he sustains us. Because until we're with him, it's not going to be, you know, easy mm-hmm. ride. But he uses those hard times to refine us and to bring us closer to him, and just knowing that he's the sustainer. So those were kind of the big things that really were popping out to me about who God is. And man, it makes me love him more. And knowing all of those things, it makes you feel so loved knowing that, like,
yeah, He does it out of love.
Yes,
he faithfully provides and sustains for you out of love.
Exactly.
Right.
So I would say that those were like big, big umbrella aspects that he's been teaching me through all the years.
Okay. Well, then let's hear it. Like what, you know, you said that you kind of grew up with this background. You really didn't know much of time. Although I do love the fact that you remember this five-year-old moment by yourself. Oh, I think that is just precious.
I think it's just a gift of the spirit.
It is a gift.
Like actually, whenever I remember it, I feel like almost the Holy Spirit just kind of like, like tingling, like, yep, I was there.
Oh my gosh. That just, I mean, I've heard it over and over again from people. And if you guys listen to this podcast, you know, episode after episode, you are going to hear people talk about their memory of coming to the Lord. And sometimes it's they're 3 years old and sometimes they're 30 years old, but there's just this vivid, it's like a spiritual memory almost.
Yes.
And I just haven't gotten bored of it. I think it's so cool. So, but now tell me when things started to really become personal for you. I know it was always personal, so right. I hate to put that on a measuring stick, you know, but still, I know that sometimes when we grow up in the faith and we know who he is and we even recognize at the age of five, I need Jesus. Still, there are when we grow in our independence in life, our experience with God grows as well. So tell me more about that for you.
Sure. So we lived in Texas most of my childhood, and then right before my senior year of high school, my dad got called from that church to a church in California, and that rocked my world.
Wow. How old were you?
I was 17. Oh. I was right before high school, like my senior year, and I had been in the same place since kindergarten.
Wait, did you graduate in California?
I didn't, so that's part of the story.
Oh, okay.
So I moved there, because even though I was like teenage angst of you're asking me to move to another state.
Wow.
But my dad was being called to another church. It was very clear that our family was supposed to go. And even then I realized I'm supposed to go. Like I'm supposed to obey. I'm supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then God used that year to totally change this, like the path of my story. And I played soccer all growing up, and it's funny how he uses people, right? That I got, you know, asked to play on this one soccer team, and that coach was like, oh, you'd be a great fit for the Naval Academy. And I was like, what's that? Like most people who want to go to a military academy have been like talking about it like their whole high school career or their whole lives because their parents went there. And as a senior, I'm like, oh, what's that? That sounds interesting. And so it was really, really neat to see, one, that God used that time to be like, nope, you're going here. But during that whole period, I also like somehow convinced my parents and prayed a lot. And I actually ended up going back for the last semester to graduate with all my friends. So I graduated from our high school in Texas. And then like a month later, went off to the Naval Academy, like not knowing anybody and just like, okay, here we go.
Wow.
And, but just knowing that, like the lesson that I learned looking back was like, God blesses obedience. Like obedience brings blessing, even when you don't understand. But if you're prayerfully trying to follow where he's leading, he'll use it even when you're like, don't.
Amen.
And so that's another theme, like expect the unexpected and God will use it in a way that you never, ever saw coming, but it'll be awesome. It won't be easy, but it'll be good.
That's right.
So from there, at the Naval Academy, the first year and a half were really hard. The first year is really hard as a plebe. It's very trying. Mm-hmm. I won't even get into all the details. And I wasn't actively walking away from my faith. I just wasn't leaning into God as much as I should be. So that first year and a half, I was like really struggling. And he brought me back. And I remember toward the end of my sophomore year, I just remember having like this almost like reuniting with God and just having so much joy and being like remembering I'm his child and I can lean into him. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a ton obviously at the Naval Academy. I ended up meeting my husband there. And so I was in the Navy and he was in the Marine Corps. And we had a bunch of training. So we waited a year and got married. And this was all right after 9/11. We were seniors mm-hmm. when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. So as a Marine, he was deployed a ton. I was on my ship a ton. So we didn't see each other very much for that first couple years of mm-hmm. marriage. We were stationed in San Diego at the time. And I was really grappling with fear a lot, mm-hmm. especially about losing him.
Yeah.
Fighting a war.
Right.
And God came alongside me during that time. I'm not saying it was easy, but just kept, like, again, providing, like, trust me. Like,
right.
no matter what happens, because it was never like, oh, he'll be fine. It was always just like, trust me.
Right.
And it was like a daily thing. That idea of like a daily walk became more and more evident in that those, you know, early years of being together, of being married. And then after that, thankfully, he was fine. I ended up getting out of the Navy. I was teacher for a little while. We got to be stationed in Germany, so that was really fun, just traveling and enjoying each other after.
Where you're not serving, and he is.
And right. And not and actually having time together because we had not been together for so long. And then we finally decided to have kids, and I was really excited, like almost pinched myself, like, oh, life is so good. Like, oh, we had these amazing years in Europe. Now we're going to have a baby. And I got super sick, like for the whole 9 months, like barely just hanging on. And I was like, okay, once he's born, it'll be better. And it wasn't. And I struggled way more than I expected to with being a new mom, especially after having done all these hard things.
Right.
I was like, wait, what? Like, I knew being a mom would be hard, but this is way harder than I expected. And now I know God was saying, like, it is time to depend on me and stop depending on your own work ethic. Stop depending on your own abilities. Oh, by the way, those abilities you have, I gave you. Like, this is about who you are in relationship to me, not just, like, what can I grind out on my own? And it's funny how, like, a tiny baby brought me to my knees after all that time, you know, as a military spouse and in the Navy myself and all of these other things. And God was saying, no, I need you to need me. Realize how limited you are and you need to depend on me. And he started giving me these different scriptures as a mom. And the very first one was 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I was like, wow. Like, I needed to know how weak I was to realize how big God is.
Right.
And how much I need to rely on him instead of myself.
And let me pause there for a second, because I think, especially for people who are not as familiar with faith or the idea of God saying to us, I want you to need me. Okay. So let's just break that down for a second, because in human relationships, if someone were like, I want you to need me, there's this like twisted codependency, unhealthy thing going on where, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And so it's hard for people to understand, who don't really understand the character of God or relationship with God, to understand this idea of God coming to us and saying, I want you to need me. Okay. So let's, I want to go there for a second.
Okay.
God wants us to need him, because being in need of him and receiving from him is our best life. It's because that's where we find our perfect, that's where we find living in the perfect design that God has had for us. And it's not about him being this, like, you know, I don't want to say power hungry, but it's almost like attention hungry God, right? Like, it's not about him being attention hungry because of the fact that it does something for him.
Right.
It's about what he can do for us.
Yes.
and which is the opposite of a human relationship that has this codependency, right?
Right. Right.
It is in a relationship with God, everything he does for us is out of an abundance of love for us.
Yes.
And so whenever he helps you understand your own weakness, it's so that he can meet your every need.
Right.
It's so that he can lead you on a path that leads to everlasting life.
I think that's a great point. He knows what's best. And yeah. Something he's been teaching me lately is, as a human, we don't want to be humble. We don't. And, you know, it all goes back to like Genesis 3, where we've been tricked into thinking like, oh, I can be like God, mm-hmm. and I'm more important than I really am.
Well, and self-sufficiency, right? We want to be self-sufficient.
I mean, there's so many things mm-hmm. there. And knowing, like you said, it comes from a place of love. Like when we stop and lean into him and realize he does know what's best and I don't always understand and he sees the big picture and his ways are higher, then you're like more in awe of who he is and how much he loves us and what he wants to do for us and provide for us and sustain us through all of it. So I can see how I've grown up with it for so long mm-hmm. that it makes sense. But knowing that he wants what's best for us, like when people look at the book of the Bible, they think, oh, this is just a bunch of rules, it's constraining. And when you start to really dig into it, you realize, no, this is his guide to life and truth.
Yeah.
He actually is giving us what's best. In our human mind, we think, oh, no, I'm just being confined. And he's like, no, this is flourishing. This is good. This is truth. And it just takes us so long and our stubbornness as humans to, like, it's taken me, and I'm not saying I have it figured out.
Yeah.
It's taken me like over a decade to even like start to grasp this concept of, when I released it to him, even though it might not look what I expected it to look like, he knows best.
He brings it back tenfold. And he also brings it back in just such a better version, you know?
Not necessarily easier.
No, not easier. but...
But better.
Again, I mean, I often, you know, a lot of the things that I do are about making the most of life, you know, and it's because I believe that God's way is where we find the most in our life, you know? And so we could honestly talk about this for hours,
right.
And it is a complex kind of theological concept as well. But I think that in general, just to understand whenever you find yourself weak and humbled, and God, and we know as believers that is a position whenever God can be most present and powerful in our lives, because there we have kind of let go of ourselves and it makes space for him. And when he comes in out of love and out of this sense of, I have come to give life and to give it abundantly.
Right.
And that's where we find that abundant life, is in that sense of, I'm no longer sufficient enough for myself. Please, God, help me.
Right. Right? And just growing in our trust in him.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where the faithfulness comes in. Like, I'm not saying that we all figured out perfectly, but hopefully if we're looking back on our stories, he really was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time he calls you to step out in faith, you're like, I can trust him. He did that back then.
Right.
Let me.
Absolutely.
And so
they're building blocks.
Completely.
Yeah.
If we're willing to take that to heart and trust is not easy at all. But I think reflecting like you're doing with all these conversations is, you look back and realize, wow, he is good. He mm-hmm. loves me.
So good.
I'm gonna step out of the boat. And it's interesting because after that experience with my oldest, that was like just the beginning.
Right.
And
so tell me what else.
So two hard pregnancies, two hard babies. I love my boys, but they were not easy babies.
Mm-hmm.
But God was using that to prepare us for the next kind of phase.
Okay.
I thought we'd be done. actually remember praying our youngest. It was like Rhonda's first birthday. And I was like, okay, God, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't keep doing this. It was really hard. I was so sick and just was really struggling. I was like, okay, I must be done. Our family's complete.
Right.
And it was like there was this kernel of, I wouldn't even admit it to myself, but God knew, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And it was like really buried. And fast forward a couple years, I was in a mom's group and there was like all these moms around who were adopting. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. But it just never was like something that I thought would be in our orbit.
Right.
And just kind of, I was an observer for about a year. And then we had a panel of adoptive moms. And I remember walking in that morning like, oh, this will be really interesting. And sitting there, he called me to our family to adoption.
He drew you in.
It was like unbelievable. Mm. I remember sitting there listening to those moms and I had all these questions. And it's like personal questions, like how does this apply to our family and how would we do this moving forward? And I kind of remember like looking around like, wait, what? Like, no, are you sure you didn't mean her right there or her? And it was I walked out knowing we were called. And my husband and I had never talked about it ever.
Yeah.
Like this was not something like, oh, I've always wanted to adopt. No, this was
brand new.
And I prayed for a week and then we talked about it and he was in. Like
wow.
He had been preparing him too.
Yeah.
And that was the start. And adoption, we ended up internationally adopting our daughter. It was like from the start of that call to when we brought her home was like over 2.5 years. Mm. So a long journey just preparing us. But he was just so clearly just one step at a time, like, okay, go to China. Okay. You know, just praying through all the files, just all the, there's every so many step. Details.
Yes.
And it was just so clear. He was just walking with us. And then we brought our daughter home. And it's interesting when they were preparing us for adoption, we had some great training and they were like, really, you think you've been on this journey and it's actually not starting until you bring your child home. And then you're like, oh, wow. Like, it was hard to get there. And then you're like,
I'm like raising this child.
Okay. And it was so clear to me that I remember thinking like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with our boys. And he's like, yeah, you can't do this alone. You need me. That's the point. Like, it was another, like, depend on me. I will sustain you. I will be faithful. I will provide just what you need. Just like he had through everything. Like, all the military moves. He had provided all the homes, all the family, the friends, all the neighbors. Like, everything. Like, when you look back, it's so clear. He had just provided what we needed. Not always what we thought we wanted, but what we needed.
Right.
And again, it was another chance of, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, just trust me. Just lean into me. You can't do it alone. That's the point. And so that depending on him. And then we ended up having like all these unexpected medical challenges with her and just all the things that he was teaching me. I was just blown away. But in the end, I was just so like not grateful for the challenge just because it made me like appreciate and know and love God all the more.
Right.
And he was so personal. He was so relational, like meeting me right where I was.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
He used the Bible, specifically being in his word, just to like meet me in like ways I had never expected. When my boys were really young, I really struggled with that, like knew I needed to be in it because we have this like mentality like, oh, I'm supposed to be in the word. Let me check that box. And he whispered to my spirit, it will come. And it so has, because it came to like, it became my lifeline. Like I knew that he was going to meet me there in truth. And I've just been like amazed to see who God is as I've gotten deeper into studying the word.
Right.
And so now it's like, that's my time with him. I get excited now when I have like, extra hour, I'm like, oh, yes. Like I'm that Bible nerd. I'm like, oh, I get to go do Bible study.
Yeah.
And he's also recently prompted me just like, I'm starting to memorize chapters of the Bible. And it's like, I just never would have thought that that's part of our relationship. It's mm-hmm. the living word of God, and that he gave us that gift to like lead us and guide us and right. allow us to know him until we're with him forever. And so right. it's just been such a gift to me to like never thinking I'd be, oh, I love Bible study, but I love it. And just getting to be with him in the word for sure.
Well, I think what we see really across history of all the documented accounts of God interacting with people, and then also like across my own life and all of the lives of the people I've interviewed on this podcast, it's very, very evident that God will use our most difficult times and the times when we do feel weak, like what we were just talking about, and he bears fruit out of these seasons.
Yes.
And it's amazing because people who don't live with hope and don't live with Jesus as their hope, those seasons can just like mm-hmm. fall on, that was a really bad moment in right. my life, you know?
Right.
And of course you learn from going through hard things. I'm not saying people don't ever learn anything.
Right.
But the fact that he can sow spiritual seeds during those seasons that end up producing spiritual fruit that change people's lives for eternity is just absolutely incredible. So I'd kind of like to go there for a minute as we close, just to think about the ministry that God has you doing now, and especially you're about to be a published
Lord
author
willing.
Of a Bible study, Lord willing. And I think I'm actually going to go back to just kind of the Rooted Motherhood study that will be published before the end of, and I'll go ahead and say, because we're in 2025 right now for right. whenever you're listening to this. So if it's 2026 when you're listening to this,
right.
it's already on the market, Lord willing.
Lord
right?
willing. I don't want to get ahead of him.
Yeah. No,
his timing, not mine.
I'm believing it's going to happen. So, but I see that you say that this is for moms who desire to be grounded in scripture and growing in Christ. And I just know, I mean, I'm a mom myself, and I know so many moms out there. And I also know your heart is that this isn't only for moms.
Right.
You know, this can be for anybody who wants to be grounded in scripture and growing in Christ. But particularly after hearing more about your story, that the Lord used those really challenging seasons in your life to then birth a passion for scripture yes. and a passion for being rooted in him, to be able to then turn around and encourage others in that same way. So that's just such a beautiful thing. I'm wondering if you can, do you want to just, as we close, would you like to share a little bit about your heart behind women having this relationship rooted in Christ through motherhood and through life? And then what advice would you want to give people on their own journey?
Yes, I'd love to. So for me, like you said, he used these experiences to call me into relationship with him and deeper into his word. And I'm wanting to make this accessible, excuse me, for other moms who might be like, how do I do this?
Mm-hmm. I think that God has put a really clear message on your heart. And I have thought of this so many times while you've been talking, so I'm going to read it really quickly. As we read in Genesis 22, that is the account of Abraham taking Isaac to the altar of sacrifice. And God says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Mm. And I believe that you mentioned early in this conversation that there is a blessing that comes out of obedience. And that's when I first thought of this passage from Genesis 22, because it is not only a blessing to your own life, which of course we've heard how that is for you
so
today.
Much, yeah.
It's not only a blessing to the lives of the women who are going to one day read these Bible studies that the Lord has called you to do and has equipped you to be able to do and has planted that word for them through you, right? But it will be for generations and generations through the mothers that read these words as it blesses their children and their children's children and so on and so forth. So praise God, because he is so powerful and he does meet us in those weak moments because of his love for us. Yes. So thank you, Heather, so much for sharing your life with us and telling us more about your journey. And I'm really excited to see what's next.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.